the Green Room. That's what's coming up on the Art of Bombing Episode 6 re-release.
My friend Dan, he's got a podcast, cause all comics need a podcast, and nobody had a podcast called The Art of Bombing. So Dan went out and bought a tape deck. Who knows why he bought a tape deck? Podcasts don't get played on tape decks, but Dan is from the 80s. So hey there, all you funny jerks, come talk to Dan about your work. Tell him all about your worst times. It's The Art of Bombing.
Welcome to a not-so-new Art of Bombing podcast. I'm your host, Dan Bublitz Jr., and it is not so new because this is a flashback re-release episode, and this week's episode, we're going all the way back to episode 6 with Sean Jordan. You're probably thinking, wait, didn't Sean Jordan just have an episode this week? Well, yes, he did. He was on episode 203. That means there's been almost 200 episodes since he's been on the podcast. And it's just a coincidence. I did not plan for this to happen. It just happened that way, that his new episode came out the same week that his flashback episode was coming out. Just a coincidence. Just wanted to get in here, though, before we get into this conversation with Sean, to let everybody know the audio, it was recorded in the green room of Wackles Comedy Club. Wackles Comedy Club no longer exists. The main reason I wanted to get in here because of that is because that means the audio quality was not that great because I was just using my phone. I did try to clean it up a little bit, but I like to give these disclaimers that, hey, the audio's not the greatest. But the conversation was fantastic, and it was different from the conversation we just had on Tuesday, the newest conversation. He had different bombing stories. You know, time has passed, things have changed, and more great conversations. So that's what's coming up today. Real quick, just want to let everybody know, if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the podcast, leave a 5-star rating, and maybe a nice review. That always helps the podcast. But if you want to support the show financially, if you enjoy what I do, you can buy me a beer by going to buymeacoffee.com. That's buymeacoffee.com/dbubcomedy. I know you're like, what? Buy you a beer at buymeacoffee.com? That's just the name of the website. I get to choose what you buy me with it. But if you'd like to go buy me a beer for all my hard work for this podcast, much appreciated. But again, don't feel obligated. The best way to help is to leave that 5-star rating and a nice review. So that's all we got for today. We're going to get into this episode with Sean Jordan, the re-release for episode 6. Enjoy!
And I couldn't talk for like 5 minutes. I kept trying. I was sitting in the green room like, I could breathe, but I'm like, it was just something was happening. And I was worried. I was like, I might not be able to do the show. But then I did it.
Oh, that's a
miracle.
Yeah, that's definitely a good thing. So we're getting ready for our show tonight. Here at Wackos. Last night's shows were pretty good. Our show, I should say.
Show, correct.
Show.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, man. Small but mighty. Everybody was...
Yeah, they were a fun crowd.
They were on point. And we ended up going... So I was asking you who the dude was that was here. We ended up going over to his house.
Oh, okay.
I was there until like 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
It was awesome.
Nice, yeah.
They live right behind DJ.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because they live over there. I stayed at the Rush, I think, until... Pretty much closing time, and then I went to Perkins with some friends.
Now, the Rush. Okay. You mean the Gold Rush?
No, just the Rush. That's the name of it.
It's a
bar on 41st Street.
Yeah. Used by the Pancake House?
Maybe.
By Best
no,
Buy?
No. It's up further. It's up almost by Kiwanis.
Oh, we're...
I think
yeah.
It's just called the Rush. It's not the Gold Rush.
Used to be the... I know what you're talking about.
It might be. I don't know what it used to be. I
used to go there all the time.
Yeah.
Jager bombs.
Karaoke on Fridays, so... Some friends were doing karaoke, so I went down there and hung out.
Fantastic.
And had some good old delicious breakfast at Perkins, and then went home and slept like a baby.
Yep, that's the way to do it.
Slept good. So what's one of your horror stories? That's what this podcast is about. It's about the worst shows.
I have one that was from in here, and it was kind of... Nobody's ever really done anything, but I got a couple. So there was a dude in this room... And I used to have why I used to be so bad at stand-up, but I used to have a joke about crotch rockets, and I said something. I was like, if you're going to ride a motorcycle, dress scary and, like, freak me out, you know, and wear, like, a Bandito's jacket or Hell's Angels jacket. And this guy in the crowd, he goes, nope. And he said it really, like, confrontation. I was like, what do you mean? And he goes, no. And I looked, and I thought he might have had Tourette's or something, just because it seemed like it. And I was like, he goes, you don't talk about the Bandidos like that. And I'm like, oh, shit. And I think he was like an actual biker. It scared the tar out of me. So then I was like, cool, I won't. I was so scared. And then the rest of my set, I was like kind of jittery. So I was like, this dude, because they don't fuck around.
They don't. No, I've had a couple shows where they were all bikers, and I got worried about that. Yeah. There was a show in San Diego, and that was all that came. It was like a little show, and it was like, it didn't look like anybody was going to show up, and all of a sudden this gang of bikers showed up.
And they can be awesome. And but yeah, they can also, if you piss them off, they're like...
They were pretty good, though. They ended up being pretty good. At first, it was kind of like, I don't know. It was questionable. But when it was all said and done, they were having a good time. And then I had that happen at an open mic. A bunch of bikers came into this bar. And, of course, open micers think they're cool.
See?
They try to make jokes about it.
I hate that
shit. Just fucking got in their faces, and then it was got kind of awkward, and then by the end of the night they were fine. In fact, they started coming almost every week.
Really?
To the point where it was one of them, they came in on their president's birthday, and he wanted us to roast him.
That's pretty fun. Yeah, I mean, it's you have to earn that with people. I hate it when people pick out something, if someone's like different or something, and people start making fun of them, you're like, there's nothing stopping this person from coming up on stage. Nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Stopping them. Yep. And they have the numbers. You don't.
Especially in clubs like out here where they don't really have like security.
Yeah, there's not a door guy here.
There's no,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's enough of like the comics and stuff. I think we could handle a situation.
Yeah,
but like,
still.
I've been, I used to work the door at the old club. There was this guy. I mean, if it's not about me on stage, but it's about a comedy club, does that count as a horror story?
Well, yeah, sure, why not?
I was working the door, and this dude who, like, he looked pretty gnarly, big, stocky white dude, shaved head, tatted up, looked like, you can imagine, looked kind of gnarly.
Yeah.
So he leaves with his girl, and they, I guess, didn't pay their bill. So, like, three of us went out to be like, hey, man, but we didn't go out to freak him out. We just honestly thought he, like, forgot or something. But we just all three happened to run up on him, and we're like, hey, man, you didn't pay your bill. And he, like, squared up, and he was freaking out. He's like, I paid that fucking bill. And he's like, right, picked me cause for some reason. He's like, right on me. And then Josh, the old waiter, he was like, hey, man, you need to calm the fuck down. And then the guy was, like, just really, like, flexing. And then so by then we had, like, five of us up there, and we had him in a circle. And he started crying even because he said he just got out of prison. And he's like, I paid that fucking bill. And I guess probably what happened is somebody just walked by and swiped the cash. People used to do that all the time.
Oh, that's
so
horrible.
I think he did pay it, but I was the only one like, cool, man, we'll just eat it. Get out of here. It's no big deal. And everyone else is like, fuck that, you gotta pay. And he's like, I'm gonna go crew up and I'm coming back. And I'm just like, why are you guys egging this dude on? Obviously, he's crying. Like, you don't just start crying if you're not super, super pissed. So... Yeah, it was very scary. And then he didn't come back.
Thank God.
Rarely happens. Like,
yeah,
I've never
never
had anybody. I had a dude try to fight me at Harvey's, the shitty club in Portland.
Oh, really?
So they don't police the room either. So it's like 300 people every night. They paper it every night. And this dude was sitting up front, just on his phone, like right in the front. And I honestly don't even care if someone's on their phone, but... Try to be secretive. Like, if you want to look at Instagram, I don't care. But he was just, like, holding it right up in my face like this, like that. And and I go, what are you doing, dog? And he goes, I'm fucking bored. And I was like, so dip. No one's keeping you here. Take off. And he stood up. He's like, fuck you, dude. And he stood up, and he, like, motioned that he was going to come up on the stage. And I was like, we don't need this to happen at all. You know, like, I was like, I can talk to you after the show if you want. We can handle this. But, you know, you don't need to come up here. He's like, fuck you, dude. You're talking shit. And then these two other guys were sitting stage right, and they looked at me, and they're like, we got your back, dude. So then they started talking shit to this guy, and his whole party started getting with them. And I was like, whoa, like from stage, I was like, nobody's going to fight. We're definitely not going to have a brawl in the middle of this fucking show. It was crazy. And then the dude, like, stormed out, waited for me outside, didn't have shit to say. Like, oh, he just was standing there when I left.
That's crazy when you think about it, though. Like, people come to a comedy show, and then if they get bored or whatever, fine, get it some, you know, not every comic's for every person. Get that. But to, like, almost want to start a fight, and then you see that. There's videos of comics getting charged and fights breaking out at comedy clubs.
I know.
Like, there's actually a comedy club out in San Diego where a fight broke out, like, during the open mic. Like, it was almost like a brawl. Because then some comics went and jumped in to try to, like, pull the guy off the comic, and then his friends jumped in, and well, that's insane.
It's what happens when people don't quite... When people think there's, like, this invisible brick wall in between you and the audience. And also, don't, just because you have a microphone, it doesn't mean that you can be a dick to someone and not expect consequences.
Well, that's true. Like, I mean, that's very true.
I try to be the same way on stage that I am in just in daily life. And, like, I wouldn't walk up to somebody and be like, nice fucking Hawaiian shirt, you dumb fuck. You know, I'd never do that. But people do it from the stage, and you're like, what would happen if you walked up to a guy at the mall and did that?
Right.
He'd get in a fight. He'd end up fighting you. Or he'd cowered out because he's got a Hawaiian shirt on. But it's neither here nor there. People do.
It's not the point.
It's not all fighting. I've had the first open mic I ever did here in Sioux Falls. It was a contest, and I got booed off stage. It was such a bummer. I had some joke about the Vikings or something. Wasn't even a joke. I don't even know what it was. I was so bad at comedy for so long. But I said something about the Vikings, and this dude's like, fuck you, Packers. And I was like, oh, yeah, you like the Packers? Okay, yeah, the Packers are cool. And he's like, get out, you suck. And then, like, a lot of people joined in, and there's, like, 50 people, like, boo, get out. And so I just skedaddled off the stage. And then whoever was after me, I forget his name, but he taught me a very valuable lesson. But he went up, and he's like, who's that Packer fan? And the guy raised his hand, he's like, fuck you, dude. The Packers are the worst team in the fucking world. I don't care about football. You suck. You're a prick. And everybody got on board, and they were like, yeah, fuck this guy. Because it was one of those things where you just, if I'd had a little bit of confidence, I'd been like, dude, what are you booing me for?
Yeah.
Sports. It's a comedy show. But you live and learn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what you got to do. So, like, okay, so after you bomb, I have, like, a couple standard questions that I always ask on this, because I'm always curious about, like, how long does it take before you shake it off?
I have to have a good set.
You have to have a good set before
you can... still, like, if I bomb in L.A., it happens constantly, because shows are just rough.
Yeah.
And you're not booked a lot, so, like, sometimes I'll have a bad show, and then I won't get to perform again for, like, 2 weeks.
Oh.
And you just soak in it. Like, I'll walk around the apartment, like, saying jokes to myself. I'll try to make people laugh at the bar a little more than I normally would, because I'm like, I need to know that I'm still funny.
Yeah.
It's getting better, though. Like, when you have a bad set anymore, I've been doing stand-up long enough, like, I kind of know what happened if it's my fault.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, because it's not always your fault. Sometimes people just don't like what you're saying. Doesn't mean it's not good.
Yeah. Well, and also, one thing that I kind of learned in the last year from doing, like, a lot more private gigs, sometimes the circumstances, the environment's just not right for a comedy show.
Those private gigs, man.
Because that's actually, and I talk about it all the time
that's
on here.
I didn't even think about that.
Well, and it's funny because that's actually what inspired me to do this, is I did a private show last October that was so bad that I almost wanted to quit.
Bad how,
like, everything about it was bad. I bombed for an hour. It was horrible. It was horrible, though, and the fact that I felt so horrible, I didn't want to collect the money, you know? Like, as I'm waiting for the money,
that money.
Well, yeah, of course I'm going to get it, but I
fucking snatched it out of their hands. When I do bad, I'm like, give me that fucking money. It made me feel like shit. Like, 10 minutes in on some of those gigs, you're like, this is going to suck. I've used my best joke in the first 5 minutes, and I'm like, I didn't like that.
End of story.
I'm just standing here.
Yeah. I mean, I got a few laughs and stuff, but I feel like I'm pretty hard on myself there, too, so
yeah,
there's
sure.
that.
I think we all are.
But I just couldn't, it was a weird, just a weird show altogether. A lot of circumstances that made it just not a good, it wasn't a good place for a comedy, good environment, But yeah, so that's what inspired this, was doing that kind of stuff. And that, like I said, that took me a while to shake.
Yeah, dude. I did the show for Home Depot, and it wasn't, it wasn't like, it was through this website called Gig Salad.
Yeah.
So you just book it independently, and I never really go through the contracts. I just email them or find them on Facebook, and I'm like, hey, this, so I don't have to pay for it. So it's never really official. So I just have to take their word for it.
Oh, okay.
I get to this Home Depot, which I was like, that's crazy. We're doing it in a Home Depot at night. So it's kind of like for all the people that work there. So I call this girl, email her, text her, no answer for like an hour. So I'm sitting outside of this Home Depot like, well, there's 500 fucking bucks I don't get. And then finally she comes out after an hour and she's like, I'm sorry, I didn't have my phone on me. And I'm like, whatever. So I get up and there were, it was in a, one of those aisles at Home Depot. So it was just a huge like 150 yard long aisle. Right. So by the back of the aisle, you couldn't even see the stage that was built out of plywood, like stacks of plywood. And then they had orange, a wall of orange Home Depot buckets behind that. So I was like about as high as a forklift would be. I was standing like 8 feet in the air.
Wow.
And I had a mic, but it was just a long hall of people and nobody, the closest people were like 15 yards from me. I mean, they were deep and I had to be clean. And the, the guy bringing me up, he said my name wrong, and he did one of these things. He's like, we got a comedian, Sean, he's going to be up in a bit, just pointed right at me, and then talked for like 10 minutes. So everyone's just staring at me. And you know that they don't want to listen to me. They want to get drunk or whatever. Like, the money they paid me, and this is what I think about all these private gigs, they should take that and just ask their employees, like, what would you guys like to do with $1,000?
Yeah,
we could just spend it on $1,000 worth of alcohol for you. We can give everybody an extra $20 on their paycheck. Nobody would pick a comedian unless it was like Dave Chappelle or something.
Yeah.
No one's going to be like, I want to see a local comedian who someone who works here saw at a show one time and they think they're good.
Yep.
That's how it always goes. Like, hey, I run entertainment for Home Depot and we watch it for the Christmas party. And I'm like, sure.
Do it. I know it's going to be bad.
That's when it's work.
Yeah. That's like, oh, yeah, I know.
You say this shit isn't work and you're like, that's work.
Even though you know they're going to be horrible because they pay, you still do them. Like, I'm doing a company picnic in Iowa.
Is it outdoors?
No, it's going to be indoors, so thank God. But it's like at noon.
Yeah, it's going to suck. Terrible.
I always threw gig salad as well, but yeah. I'm like, but
you do it.
I'll pay it, so.
You, like, the first one I did, the comedy club in Sioux Falls used to, because there's been a couple people in between then and now. Like, now, Helen's fantastic. And in the beginning, Pat and Michelle were their names who ran the club, like, 12 years ago. They were fantastic. Everybody in the middle sucked. But when I first started doing stand-up around Christmas, they would hook us up with corporate gigs and, like, mm-hmm. basically just split the money with us. They'd be like, go do this. You know, you get $400. We'll take $200 because we found the gig. And I'm like, tight. And I used to lie about how much time I had all the time. I was like, oh, yeah, 45 million. Got that. I'd love to see a tape of some of these. I did one at Falls Landing. Falls. And No Mike, it was like 6 p.m. I had to do 45 clean, and I had been doing stand-up for like 6 months. I mean, I didn't have 5 minutes of clean material.
Oh,
or
my
material.
God.
And I was like, yeah, I can do that. And I'd love to see footage. Because there was no mic, so I just had to yell the whole time. And there were probably 100 people there, and they were all spread out. So it was like I was really yelling. And I don't know what I said. I can't remember a thing of it because I didn't have any jokes. I bet you, I honestly wouldn't put it past myself that, like, I bet I stole some from people. Like,
oh,
accidentally. I bet I was just talking and, like, ended up saying jokes that I had heard. I probably told, like, just some lame stories. I have no idea what I did.
Wow.
Ridiculous.
That's rough. But that's how that, you know what, though? Sometimes those shows like that, though, you don't want to remember.
It taught me another lesson, like, lie a little less about your time. Don't say you have 45 when you have 5.
That's probably true. I mean, I knew I could do an hour, and I told them, the people that booked me with that event, I was like, for the one that I, you know, bombed really bad, I was like, I can do an hour, but it's not, like, the greatest hour. Like,
yeah.
You know, I'm comfortable here, but I know I have the material because I did it before, and it was kind of a family member was on the committee, planning committee, so they were like, let's get you in here. I'm like, all right, I'll do it.
Every now and again, those corporates can go pretty, it can be
pretty
cool.
Oh, they can. Some of them go really well.
If they do it right. Like, I did one for Fred Meyer, which is like the Northwest Hy-Vee, and I did one, it was like 8 p.m., big banquet hall on a Friday night. Everybody was hammered. They wanted to see a comedian. Like, they had taken a poll through work. They wanted a comedian, and it was great. They loved it.
Yeah, I did a show similar to that one, because this was for this particular gig was for the state EMS conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I did something similar to that in California for a state, the arsons investigations conference is what it was. So it was just a bunch of people that were, you know, like used canine units and things like that or whatever. And it was their annual conference, and that was amazing.
Yeah.
Like everybody on the show did well. The people there just dug the show. It was great. We did so well that they actually paid us more than we were gonna get. it was like wow, we got a bonus.
I walked into a gig one time. It was another corporate, and I got there late, and I told her it was fine because she had two comics. So I walk in halfway through the first comedian set, and the lady who booked me was like terrified. She just walked up to me because the person was doing so bad. And I could read the room. I was like, I'll do okay. But so she comes over and she's like, are you better than her? Will you please tell me you're better than her? And I was like, I go, it's subjective. I'm not going to say I'm better than she is, but I will say that I will do a good job. Like I can tell I will do okay. And then I get off stage and I did great. She's, according to her, she thought I did great. And then she told me, she goes, that girl made like four times as much money as you because you just didn't ask for as much as she did. And she goes, I got you like an extra $100, but I think this girl made like $1,500 or something.
And oh, wow.
$300. It was something. And I was just like, damn it. You can't
well,
do anything.
Yeah. And that's a tough thing to do too. Like with private gigs, like trying to figure out how much to charge, you know what I mean?
No idea.
I don't either. And even now, like I know some people would be like, well, it's a corporate, you know, charge at least $1,000. And I'm like, yeah, but it's me.
I lowball it.
You know what? Yeah. I
don't want him to say no. I don't want him to be like, oh, $1,000. We found someone else. So I'll say 400, and then, you know, they're just like, okay, that's where a manager comes in handy.
Yeah,
the manager's just like, we want 10 grand, and they're like, no.
Yeah, and you don't even have to worry about it. Yeah, would be good, but I lowball too, because for another reason too, is like, and maybe, you know, as I progress in comedy, I'll get more confident, but I don't think I'm worth a grand, not for an hour.
I'm pretty honest about it. Like
that's what I try to be. I try to be honest.
The jump from, like, if I have to do an hour, the jump in price from even, like, 45. Like, if I'm doing 45, it's one price. But if they're like, we need an hour, I'll, like, double it almost. Because that extra 15 minutes, especially if it's clean, is so hard to fill. You're just like, it can be the roughest 15 minutes. Like, I'll dig deep in the vault to get some clean like, from 10 years ago. And they don't know. They don't care that it's 10 years old.
As long as it's funny, that's all they care about, which is good.
Yeah, dude. I like it when people, like, give me, there's, like, yeah, half hour, you can be as dirty as you want. And you're like, okay.
Totally. Right? That's the best.
So normal.
I love it when they tell you that you got to be clean, and then you get there, and they're like, just do whatever.
Uh-huh.
The people there are like, we want you to be dirty.
We did. I did this twin. It was at a Joe's Crab Shack. Do you know what?
Yeah, I know what it is. Yeah.
Like a seafood restaurant. It's like it's like an Applebee's for seafood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
anybody
a chain.
Listening
yeah,
who doesn't
it's a chain.
Know.
It's a chain.
And it was a couple twin 18-year-old boys' birthday, so there were like all these teenagers. And they're like, the mom and dad in front of the kids are like, you can fucking do whatever. And I'm like, you guys must be terrible parents. Like, this is, I mean, I get it. They're 18. They're adults now, but I doubt this is the first time they've heard you say fuck or anything.
Yeah,
know?
Right.
It's probably been happening their whole life. And it was fun. But it's also weird doing gigs for, like, they're kids.
Oh, I know.
If you're 18, you're a child to me.
Oh, yeah. I just did, a couple weeks ago, I did a post-prom as a favor to a friend.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, there's, so, and then and you're just like you guys are going to go bang each other tonight. You are children. It's crazy.
Yeah. And as I was, you know, as it got closer, the more I thought about it, I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be horrible. I'm like a mid-30s guy that's complaining about fucking marriage and relationships.
They can't identify with
that. They can't identify. Yes, they can't identify with that yet. They haven't experienced life yet.
This dude, I tell him I do stand-up at his wedding. And, like, getting there, because that's another one that's always bad, are weddings. And I was, like, closer up to the day, I was like, this is going to suck, man. And he even told me he'd pay me a little bit. And at the time, I needed the money. So I was like, I can't bail. And then he... like 3 days before, he's like, hey, man, she called the wedding off. So, and a part of me was so happy. I felt so bad because I was so happy that I was like, man, this wrecked your life. And here I am. I'm happy. I don't have to do a half hour of stand up. Like, oh, made me feel like a dick.
That's funny, though, that you say that, because one of the guys here in Sioux Falls, Skyler, just booked a wedding.
Really?
He's going to do a half hour.
Yeah, they suck, too.
Yeah, that's what we told him.
They're the worst.
Like, oh, wow. I quit him. It was funny. After my last little big relationship fiasco with a wedding and all this shit, it's too long for this podcast, but like shortly after we broke up, I got a quote request to do a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, decline. I'm definitely not what you're looking
for. Yeah, you
for.
Don't.
I was like, I'm way too bitter for this.
Yeah, like in The Wedding Singer when he's just breaking out and you're like, you don't need this.
That's exactly what I was thinking as I was just like, decline.
It's good to recognize that.
I was like,
because a lot of people would be like, yeah, I'll go fuck your wedding. Nobody should be happy.
No, I was like, no, I'm not the candidate for this.
My another show I did a while back in town. These all happen when I'm back, because all of the people that have known me growing up, like, they come and just get hammered. And I'm not talking about like our peers. Like this last one was, or like a year ago or something, my mom's best friend when I was growing up.
Yeah.
She was like my other mom, basically. I was at her house all the time with my friend. We were like connected at the hip. So they show up, and she's hammered, like, talking shit. You might have been there. I don't know. But she was, like, yelling at me, talking shit in a fun way. But I was like, hey, shut the fuck up. And everybody
was that
laughing.
The one at Total Drag?
No. Yeah, oh, okay. She was there, though.
Oh, okay. But I know that happened at Total Drag, too. Somebody kept, like, interrupting you.
But this gal, she just kept yelling and talking shit and laughing and, like, wow! And I'm like, hey, knock it off. You're wrecking this. And so she got all bummed out. And then after the show, she apologized. And she tried to kiss me, like a not a friendly kiss. It was like full on, and I moved, and she like kissed my neck.
Oh,
it was so weird.
I was gonna say that'd be weird.
Oh, I was just like, dude.
I can imagine.
No,
that's yeah, man. You're gonna stop wanting to come back. Dude, at least the new shows anyway. You're gonna be like, I'll come back to visit, but I ain't performing anymore. I guess the final thing. So after you bomb, shake it off or whatever. What do you try to take from a bomb? Like when you look back at it, what do you try to analyze to try to get better?
Every time that you do bad, it just reminds you that like you never have it figured out. Every time I'll have like a month of good shows, like where, and every single time I'm like, okay, I figured it out, I'm never gonna have a bad set again. And then you have a bad set and you're like, stop thinking that way. Like, never think that you got it, because the second you think that there's no way you can fuck up, then you fuck up. You always have to be aware, and always, because like if I have a bad set, I'm like, I didn't, you know, what did I do that day? I sat and like watched Friday Night Lights on my computer all day. I didn't write. I didn't think about my set before I went up. I just went up and I was like, oh, I'll just wing it like I always do. And then you're like, focus a little more before you go up. Like, think about it. Don't just sit here and listen to music and play Candy Crush. Like, look at your jokes a little bit. Have an order. Read the room, you know, see what's working, see what's not. I try to take something all the time. Also, be less hard on yourself. Like, let it grow from it, and just because negativity in any form isn't good, I don't think.
The
older I get, I'm such a hippie, but I don't like any negative energy. So it's like, don't get down on yourself. Just be like, well, that one sucked. Chalk it up, take what you can from it, and then forget about it. Because that's what the crowd's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like the crowd's leaving like, well, this is going to wreck my fucking 2 weeks because that guy was so bad. So why should we have to do that? You know?
That's true. That's a good way to look at it. That's advice that even I need to listen to, because I get really hard on myself when I do poorly. And it's funny because I have shows and people be like, you didn't do that bad. I'm like, no, I bombed. And I'm pretty sure that was horrible. And they're like, no, dude, just calm down. All right. Well, thanks for sitting down with me.
Yeah, totally.
And yeah, we'll catch you next time.
Word.
This has been brought to you by Dead and Mellow. Follow us on all your social media platforms and shop around at deadandmellow.com to see all of our stand-up, music, and podcast releases. Thank you, and God bless America.
All right, see you later.
See you.
Are we actually leaving or just it?
The Art of Bombing is a Blitzed Entertainment production. Hosted and produced by Dan Bublitz Jr., The Art of Bombing intro music was written and performed by John Holt. All other music used in this podcast was under the Creative Commons license. If you would like to help the Art of Bombing, you can do so by subscribing, rating, and reviewing our show on whatever podcast application you use to listen to the Art of Bombing. For previous episodes, blogs, and more, visit artofbombingpod.com. Have a great week, and remember, stay safe so you can live to love.